Bob Cook sets down here in a pamphlet, which is widely distributed, entitled "Tzudat Yisrael U'Miyuto," the destiny, the purpose of Bnei Israel and its nationalism. You have only a few pages here. I want to tell you why it is difficult. The first part is seemingly easy, so deceptively easy. I'll tell it to you straight. If I put you to sleep as we read the text, I'll tell you clearly. The world, its first point is the world, the entire world acknowledges that we owe the Jew a yasher koach for putting the world on the track of monotheism. Finished. Had we continued in the inception of civilization the way it did, you know, Oz hu chal likro b'shem Hashem, we read in Bereshis last week that they started to make chol, buchal, b'shem Hashem, out of what Adam realized as a natural phenomenon, that there is Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, one. If they continued along that derech of Avodah Zarah, the world would have gone down the tubes, as it did in the times of Noah. The world entirely owes a yasher koach to Bnei Yisrael. Simple. But then, once you set down this thesis, you have some difficult corollaries that you come up against. The first difficult corollary is a corollary of the classical anti-Semitism, which we hear from none other than Christian sources, and that is, okay guys, you did your job, tu'udatchem, you did your job, you've passed from the scene. Now that you set the foundation, that you were the pioneers, now we build upon that pioneering venture of yours, and then the schmutz, you know, the schmutz occurs. There is the Old Testament, which is old, and it needs revitalization and renewal. The Brit HaChadasha, the New Covenant, which, you know, Rabbi Yeshu ben Rabbi Yosef, when he was called to the Torah, came to this world and guided it to a new height. And you have passed from the scene. Now, if you are at all in tune to the polemics of Christian philosophy, from day one, this is what we have had to answer. Second corollary, however, is devastating. To Udat Yisrael, there's a Yiddish word there, shikzal, and if you know other Yiddish word, maybe you ought to learn that. Shikzal is the meat of destiny. To Dat Yisrael was to teach this world only one lesson. What was it? That there is a God in this world, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's what we call Achdus Hashem. And this God watches over the world. That's what we call Hashkocha Pratis. Give me 1 second. We'll finish and break. And if that's the case, we come to an interesting tragedy. Close to 200 years ago, the Jew himself did himself in, boomeranged his own destiny, and all of a sudden, two adjectives, they were nouns, but they were used as adjectives for the Jews, appeared in our vocabulary. The first adjective is, I am a Haredi, I am frum. And the second one is, I am a Chilomi, I am a secularist. He says, as damaging, and this is what I'm going to argue, as damaging as the first contention could have been, that Christianity in the entire Christian world, the Western world especially, has told us that we no longer belong. We are an appendage to civilization. Arnold Toynbee's thesis that we are a fossil. Okay? As damaging as that could be, it doesn't begin to do the damage, the real damage, to the Yesodos Hadas, to our Te'udah, to our destiny, that we ourselves do by calling ourselves either one of two things. Either I'm a secularist, or I'm a frum Jew. And that second thesis, he wrote in a newspaper article, you see on the second page, there's a box enclosed over there, is not generally known. You don't find it in his works. I was fortunate to have been able to find it in an anthology that was written and it is a powerful, powerful little piece. And this is where we're going. So, theoretically, you can go to sleep. If you wake up and you want to listen to the tape of the text, then you can go. Chaim, what do you say? You have the...
Or two adults. Normally, two adults is a...
report card.
Right. What is it?
The shorish is the same as the shorish is edus, testimony, to give testimony. When you walk in the street, buddy, and you call yourself Shem Yehudi, you are the living testimony. We read it in Haftorah, this Shabbos gracious, Atem Eidai. You are the edus to the fact that there is a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world, Echad, Yochid, Umiyuchad. Echad, number one, Yochid, singular, and you singular, and Miyuchad, totally unique. And the day that you stood at Har Sinai and answered to the Atav HaChatonel of Naaseh v'Nishma, you become that witness. To Udat Yisrael is the testimony that Bnei Yisrael gives to this principle that there is only one HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. Without any corporate partners of, you know, God and Son Incorporated, and without any of the pitchukis, without any of the icons, without any of the idols that Avodah Zarah went ahead and developed throughout the Elamah. And you see, you've come in that word to the entire thing. I mean, we can stop right here and say we've learned it all. That when we wake up in the morning and go about our everyday business, do we carry consciously this role, that every single action of ours is a testimony, is an edus HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his desires, the Ritzon Hashem. The way we dress, the way we look, the way we talk, the way we smile or don't smile, the relationships with our neighbors, within ourselves and externally also to the external community, that the issue of Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuyim HaKiddush Hashem. This is it. What does Kiddush Hashem mean, other than a person looks at me and sees in me incarnate that I am a testimony to all of this fancy philosophy, a living testimony that walks down Ascension Street or on Brook Avenue or Main Street USA, wherever you are, or Vilna or Volozhin or Svalim or Ashkenazim, whatever it is, whatever else it is. Let's do some text. He writes in very flowery language. But if you have some appreciation of Lashon Kodesh, then you have to see it, you have to fathom it. And if there's a word or so that you don't understand, or a compound phrase that you don't understand, try to have a little patience. Line 1, Hayu Rabim Sheikiru. Many have recognized the fact that Am Yisrael Ba'olam, that Am Yisrael exists in this world. For what reason? Rak b'tor am, exclusively as a nation, shekvar asat mishlachto, that already did its job, mishlachto, shlichus. They were given a shlichus in this world, they were given a Federal Express or a Purolator courier job, they did it and finished.
Ramallah.
That's what Ramallah Hashem. Says Rav Kook on line 2, HaRabim HaEdo Iskimu, all those who maintain that we have since done our task, all agree to certain, to certain principles. That one, Ki Amnam Tudas Yisrael HaYisaliyos La'or La'olam, that indeed the purpose of Bnei Yisrael was to be Or La'olam, to a light unto the nation. La'otzi es kol yoshvei tevel, so as to be able to extricate and take out all of civilization, mecheshkatz ha-ba'arus. Cheshkatz comes from choshech, from the darkness of ba'arus. You know what ba'arus means? Empty-headedness. Boors. Uncivilized boors. Okay. Ish, without the ayin. Ish bar lo yeda. Okay? And also to extricate them from havlei hadeos hakozvos, from the nothingness, the emptiness, hevel, of deos kozvos, of sheker, sheker because of our synonyms, of the falsehood of their opinions. Sheheviu gam lehefseid seder olam achomri, and these opinions of sheker brought to the destruction of the physical world, and not only the physical world, but gam lishkias ruach enoshi, and also the spirit of civilization was daunted, was beat into the mud and into the ground by the sheker that Bnei Yisrael was supposed to come, by the darkness that existed and their light was supposed to go. The Alkane, and therefore, Machar Adon Kol HaMa'asim Ba'amo Yisrael, is for this reason that the author of all deeds and all of creation, Machar Ba'amo Yisrael, chose Bnei Yisrael, Lihiyos Ha'am, to be the nation with Hey Ayidiyah, capital T-H-E, Asher Al Yadon, as a result of their instrumentality, as a result of their hands and their deeds, Titgale Amitas Achus Hashem Yisroach Ba'olam, will be uncovered and revealed the emes of Achdus Hashem Ba'olam, the unity. And when we speak about Achdus and unity, we mean the total uniqueness, or in the words of the Rambam, to use the words of the Rambam, you say the word sun, and you say that there's one sun in this world, S-U-N, one sun. Okay, Shemesh, are you implying that there is a second sun? Philosophically, when you say that there is one sun, it is totally Achdus, it is totally unique, sui generis. There is no other kind. And as a result of that, titameit ha'ashgacha pratit, and also the truth of hashgacha pratis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches over every single individual in his world, shehihi ha'yidiyah ha'yoter mo'ela, this knowledge is the most effective knowledge, la'hayisharat ha'drachim, to straighten our ways and thinking, ve'adeyot, and our philosophies, shel kol ha'min ha'enoshi, of all of civilization. That all of civilization owes its progress to these two principles, Hashem Echad, God is unique, and God created a world over which He supervises. If we could go ahead and accept this, internalize it, and schedule every thought, every action, every speech pattern that we have after these two principles, or based on these two principles, then civilization shall have reached its potential, its highest potential.
Who could look at Jews?
Who?
Jews could do
it. If the Jews do it, obviously it's going to rub off. And if civilization goes ahead and doesn't fight it, then without question, this is the tikkun. This is the ordering on the highest level of total civilization. And it is the job of the Jew to be the panas, the lantern, to exude this light, the light of deos, of philosophy, so that the rest of the world can follow out of the darkness into this brilliant light of philosophical truth.
Modern Western, especially modern American, was founded on the opposite, not on the Hashgacha Pratis, on the watchmaker, on the leader.
No question. But let me just interrupt brashly over here, that there are some people away from the table who seemingly are interested in our deliberations. And when they heard the first tape and the second tape, they made one comment, that my voice is heard, but your important input fades, notwithstanding the fact that we have good recording equipment here. So if you want to do a chesed to those who listen, you'll talk a little louder. All right? Now, Rav Kook becomes a little vicious. Let's put it in a way that has a little more finesse. Rav Kook is devastatingly subjective. His subjectivity, I'll just tell you a little miser, and then we'll see it in fancy philosophical terminology. His subjectivity of Ahavas HaYehudi, the love of the Jew, was so unequivocal and was so to the extreme, was so without pretension. I mean, there were no preconditions to the love of any Jew that this man had. I say that even his greatest detractors, even those who threw stones at him, even those who pushed him, the Kohen, onto a coffin, the Chutzos Yerushalayim, so that they can say that this chief rabbi of the Zionists was metame himself to a mace, and therefore has got to be shunned. A relentless love for a Jew. he expressed it in the following anecdote. He says, take all the churches of the world and see, gauge, measure the Frumkeit that exists there in all the churches of the world, and find one little shtibel somewheres in a corner of the world where 10 Jews get together to daven and say tehillim, and you have an infinite power of Shechina present there that is greater than all the other churches in the world. Now, if we were to teach this on a college campus to the American mind, there's no question that he's a racist, he's a bigot, he's... And so, I have to use the word devastatingly subjective, the terminology of devastatingly subjective. The man was blinded by his unbounded love for any Jew and what the Jew represented. And with that, let's go further. On line 6, the last word, Asher mi baladei ha'itkalut ha'mugeshet hazot. He says, I want you to try to think what the world would be like without this manifestation of the Jew, without this Hizkalus Hashem, this revelation of God, through whom? Through Har Sinai, and who stood in Har Sinai? Ato b'chaton. Us, we, the Jew, and only the Jew. The others didn't want to stand, because it said Lotignov. The others didn't want to stand, because it required Lotinov, etc., and so forth. So he says, Asher mi baladeyas ha'iskaluta mugeshet hazot. If it wasn't for this revelation mugeshet that we felt, that we saw, atover eso ladas, lo hayu mosei ha'filosofia maspikim l'chol zeh. Could the world of philosophy, whether Greek or Arabic philosophy, any other kind of philosophy, could it have brought the world and its civilization to the same understanding of Achdus Hashem and Hashkocha Protus? He said, let us assume for a moment that the Rabbanu Shalom did not reveal himself as he did through the Ovos and Har Sinai, through our scheme of his scholars of revelation. Philosophy of any kind could not have achieved what we did. V'hayu tamid ha-dvarim ha-gidolim ha-ele, these principles of godly unity and uniqueness, and godly hashkocha, these principles are dvarim gedolim, are extraordinarily deep issues. Sheholam mushtat aleihem, which is the foundation. Mushtat means it is the foundation block of the entire world. Mutalim b'safek, if you left it to philosophy, there would always have been a doubt about a creator and the role of the creator in this world. Had it not been for whom? Had it not been for the input of the Jew? Uvein safek. There's no doubt in my mind that if this job was left to philosophy, shekoch hadimyon, our power of imagination as human beings, lo hayach haser me'ashrim mati'im b'chol dor v'dor, would not have been free of mat'im, from toeh, those who are totally fallacious in their thinking in every generation. Shekol echad haya madrich chelek min amina enoshi lefi ritzono, that every one of these fallacious philosophical sources would have taken a segment of their chassidim, of their civilization, and guided them to derailment rather than to speedy exit or climbing on the track of their philosophy. It would have been a total derailment if we didn't have this, and if we left the job to philosophy. Lefiritzono, each according to his will. I'm on line 10. Vishigono, what is a meshugana? And his insanity. Vitavoso. Tavo. What is tavo?
Desires.
Yeah, his own desires, his own ego. I want to tell you that he uses two words that, in my humble estimation, I don't know that it's such a big chidush, but since Rav Kook was a master of the Rambam, he probably knew the Rambam backwards and forwards. I would like to posit, unless you can prove me wrong, that he is paraphrasing two terms that the Rambam used to characterize two civilizations. Meshuga, was his characterization, Mike, as you know so many times, I've said it, for whom? For Mohammed in Islam. In Igeres Hashmad, he does not use the word, the name Mohammed, because it was that meshugana, that insane, demented, hallucinatory aberration of a human being that created the destruction of Spanish and Arabic civilization, and ultimately the destruction of Bnei Israel in its golden age of Spain. And he calls Mohammed Osa HaMeshuga. What he's trying to say is that if, let us assume that Mohammed, the Meshugana, were to develop his sources of philosophy, call it religion, okay, without the input of the world's light that it derived from Torah, God knew what would have been with that insanity. An incredible mishmash would have occurred, far worse than what did occur. And tahava is your desire, egocentric desires, is probably the way the Rambam would go ahead and characterize none other than Christianity. Why is the Christianity, the philosophy of Christianity, so successful? Anyone know? Because it panders to your desire. You want easy salvation. You want instant gratification. Do you know how long it takes for you to be a good Christian? A moment. You'll do me a favor? Please, everyone, repeat after me. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and I am saved. Finish. Zelza, you can give us some input on that point. And it's tavo. I'll break, please. I'll break. It's tavo. It's self-centered egotism. Who wants to sit and work and break his head after a whole day in the economic marketplace when we're falling off of our feet, dead to the world, and you come and you sit because it's a posuk that says, "Alagisa v'yomam v'layla," that a house that doesn't have divrei Torah at night isn't worth the foundation, it doesn't deserve a roof on it. And every single day, and I'm not exempt, even Tisha B'Av, the day that supposedly I'm supposed to shun the Torah because it's Misamech Eslei, I'll come and learn Kamsa about Kamsa with a headache from the fast of all day. Tell me, by Christianity they have such things? You have to worry about 100 different svarim just to have a basic library of Torah Shabbat Pen, Torah Shabbat Ksav, Rishonim and Acharonim. Hundreds of svarim. I can take that money and invest it in a Rolex watch. I'll show everyone. You know, yeah. That's tava, that's self-centered egotism. You just have to repeat after me one, like Shema Yisrael. And you'll say, and you go home, and be not, and everything, and you want to know something, Bobby? You're going to sit in the world to come, in paradise. You won't burn in hell. In paradise, 1 minute, that's all. And every day you say it and finish it. If you get around to church, that's once in 6 weeks, or whatever. It's a big deal. Be nice, kind, and smile to everyone. You have any comment on that point? With your... With your experiences? Am I distorting it? Am I being flippant?
Yes, a little bit.
Well, so let's hear. So let's hear.
The preachers who are like the who have made it already, who are trying to lead the others, really believe what they believe. I mean, they have reached a level of single-minded devotion to whatever it is they do believe, that it generates a high degree of energy to the point where I think that it is true they can perform faith healing.
I don't say no.
Okay.
I don't say no, but look how easy it takes.
But the followers underneath them, and even them, they are so single-minded that you can't really carry on a rational conversation with them.
Single-minded in the sense of what?
They don't hear me. They don't hear me what I say.
There is no three-dimensional thinking.
I brought the Chumash today. I had 15 bookmarks in it. And I'll open it up. He doesn't want to hear. He wants me to follow Jesus. I says, but what if I follow Jeremiah? Is that okay? No. No, he's at the bus stop on going from the Port Authority.
Jerry decided to go on a counter conversionary campaign. Well, the guy, and he's going to do this guy in.
The guy who stands near the doorway.
Yes, his name is Isaac. So Rabbi Wasserman.
Wait, the sharks over there by the.
You want
platform?
Rabbi Wasserman helped me with a line, and now for the last two or three sessions. When I go to him, I say, Isaac, you know, today I said, Isaac, you know, I'm so worried. I'm trying to get on the bus so I don't have to walk by you. I wanted to go that way, but it's the wrong bus. And if I go that way, it's also the wrong bus. I'm going to miss my bus, and I didn't know what to do. So I took this Bible. I said, God, protect me. He wants to send me to hell. And I says, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner, so why should God protect me? So I'm going to carry this Bible. Maybe it'll protect me. And then we started talking. But when you get down to Tachlis, you can only do it their way. There's only one way to find God, and that's through Jesus. And I says, but God fills up the universe. He's everywhere. Why should there be only one way to God? But there's only one way. And I said it again. I told you last week. If you believe that, you are going to destroy the world. Because they all believe they have only their way. We don't believe that. We say, you should not do this. You should not murder. You should not steal. You should not blaspheme or curse. You should not have immoral sexual relations, etc., etc., etc. And you have to believe in one God. That's all we say. But everyone else, whether it's apparently the Mohammedans or the Christians, you've got to do it their way. And if you don't, you're out of the ball game. And it's that way of thinking that has almost destroyed the world and will continue to do so until we can get them to change their minds. And I see now it's critical. If we allow the world to movements like this to grow and allow people to believe that only they have the truth and nobody else has seichel or sense to go in their own way, the world will be destroyed.
Hold on, we're not proselytizing, but listen, give me
he's proselytizing.
No, he's sharpening his wit.
I'm trying to I'm telling them no
question.
I said, there were three preachers there tonight. I said to them, look, this Isaac here is my... This Isaac is my friend. Why have I been talking to him so much? Because I see he's a righteous man. He's not interested in himself. He's only interested in helping other people. But my concern is, why must he feel that the Jews have to do it his way? Let him get the rest of the world.
Because, listen to me. Because there is simplistic obscenity in his thinking. And look how Rav Kook says it. Line 10, the middle of the line. All right, he used the words shigaon, insanity, and tava, and self-centered egotism. He says, "Uchumo she'ara ha'nisayon b'shanim ha'rishanot shel ha'min ha'enushi." He compares both Christianity and Islam to the experience, the nisayon that we had b'shanim ha'rishanot, in the first years shel ha'min ha'enushi, of civilized humanity. What are we talking about? We are talking about a generation that looked at pure and honest religion, not Judaism. Adam HaRishon was not a Jew, but it was Tov Lodos Hashem. Mizmo Shini HaMashabas, Tov Lodos Hashem, Yudkin Vovkin. Okay? He was in paradise, he was in Gan Eden. And what happened as a spin-off thereafter? Slowly but surely, you start to worship certain things, you start to come with simplistic and unproven corollaries to a thesis, you distort for whatever insanity or for whatever self-centered righteous needs that you had, and then it created our desire in this world. Until such time as it had to be given a final crop by the emergence of whom? Of Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu, Yeshayahu calls him Echad, or Ya Avraham. The same Echad, the same uniqueness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is unique in this world. Avraham showed uniquely, singularly, that this is all insanity.
Within the sphere of Shkafe, isn't there a major question as why are the Jews and why are the non-Jews? Why is it if Hashem wanted to create a world with beings who could emulate himself, who could emulate his Kedusha? Why create a world with Jews and with non-Jews?
The Rambam asked the question.
Why have the antithesis of what he created?
It is a famous Rambam, but probably you wouldn't find it in 99 out of 100 yeshivas in the Rambam that they have, the edition of the Rambam. It's in Yad HaZokah. Probably your chuckle means that you know what I'm talking about. It is in the unexpurgated and uncensored edition of the Rambam, which some of you know I've shown you over the years, where the Rambam himself asks this question. In Hilchos Melachim, at the end, I believe it's Perek Yud Aleph, there is a censored portion over there. He speaks there about Yemos HaMashiach and how we will be able to identify Mashiach and what is the purpose of Mashiach and so on. And he brings this not in his Sefer Philosophia. He doesn't bring it in the Moreh Nevuchim. He brings it in the Sefer Halacha. You see, there's a difference. You've got to have a clear understanding of that. And he simply asks, if the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted this world to be Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, why give us the Nisoyon, this incredible test that has debilitated civilization for millennia? Of this Meshuggah called Mohammed, that's where he uses a word like that, and also Yeshua HaNotzri, Jesus the Christian. And he answers it very simple. He says, already the Nevi'im, especially in Daniel, alluded to this. How do you know good? The commodity of good. How do you know that something is good? When you experience what? The bad. You have a good pen, it's good because you see the way it works and functions for you. After you just ruined your suit on a 15-cent Bic, when you flipped the Bic over there and it came and it gave you, a permanent medallion over here straight through and through, so that it took 14 showers with Ajax to get it off, and you have to throw everything out. That's when you knew what the pen is, when the pen is good and which pen is good. So you already knew. He says the same way. The Rabbeinu Shalom, in a calculated, not risk, but in a calculated nisayon, challenged the world to the sheker that they are going to have to recognize. Oh yes, albeit after thousands of years, the sheker of the tava of Christianity and the sheker of the shigaon of the insanity of Islam that has taken a whole world and brought it to its knees simply because they are pure eodom. They are wild, uncivilized maniacs. And then, by discounting what we call reductio ad absurdum, crossing out all the absurd possibilities, you are left with one. And which will that one be? The emes of Yiddishkeit. That's the case. We are dealing with a borei olam, with a borei olam who's a top educator. Because the most effective way to educate a person is to let the person experiment. You go with A and you see it don't work. You then go on to B and it doesn't work. Until finally in the laboratory of life, you create a synthesis and a test tube that shines forth as the evidence.
And there's a question though. His initial experiment was Adam Rishon and Chava. And when he created them, he didn't create anybody else. These are the people he wants to emulate himself. He didn't create good and bad. It seems like once they had a taste of good and bad, literally, that's when he decided, okay, now you'll learn through trial and error. Okay. Maybe that's why there's a...
So you're getting into deep stuff. I mean, this is a whole study in Bereishis, we have to see. And our reaction to, so to speak, the Gan Eden episode, and why we were cast out of Gan Eden, the shitas of the Rambam, the shita of Abarbanel, the shita of Sadigo, to see this, but that's not within the purview of me. But clearly, these are everything that we said here is implicit in two code words: the shig ono, the insanity, and ta'avasot. I maintain that until you prove me differently. Let's go on. I hope we don't. All right, what did I say to insult? Why don't we pick it up on line 47? Now obviously what you're skipping over here is the fact that there are those who want to taunt us that we no longer have a purpose in this world. Says Rav Kook Lazos, Halo behechrech to Das Yisrael. Therefore, I must declare that it is an absolute essential that to Udas Yisrael, the destiny of Israel, Bihiyoto Am Hashem Matsuy Mishuklo, when it is God's people, Matsui, in existence, Umeshuchlal, fully functioning, fully tuned up on all its cylinders, that it be Nikar, recognized, Ve'omeid, and be substantive, standing as opposed to sitting or laying down, Upo'el Ba'olam, and is effective, does its job in this world. And this destiny or this job, this edus, is kayemes la'olam, is an eternal task that was thrust on us uledari daros for generation and generation. And what was the task? In four words, l'shachlel, to tune up, to perfect, tsuras hamin ha'enushi, the essence, the substance of human civilization, lishmor tzivyono, to care for its image, in other words, its inner spiritual image, ulaha'aloto, and to elevate it, b'ma'alot ha'kodesh, higher and higher, ma'alot, what are ma'alot? Steps, on an escalator. Ma'alit is an elevator. Ma'alot ha'kodesh, to get it to elevate itself on the steps of kedusha, haru'yotlo, that can be properly achieved, l'fi ha'adraga ha'neota, each according to his or the individual qualities, hadraga shekava kare hadarot miroshi parak shemal, just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu predestined from time immemorial. So that here is your first answer. This is what he is saying after he works us out to Christianity, to the fossil theory, that we are not dead, we are very much alive. Just like darkness will descend when what goes off, when your flashlight goes off, and you will be stuck, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu realize that at any given time, civilization can lapse into that darkness, and its only salvation is the or the light of the lighthouse, which is represented by Bnei Israel. Okay?
The lighthouse that God is punishing and hiding and threw him out of his home. And what is our purpose in the world? If he's gonna, is our purpose to do mitzvahs? Our purpose to show the world?
On line 47, you had it. Bihiyoto am Hashem matzui umeshuchlal. First of all, we must exist. But the kind of existence that we must have is mishuchlal, is fully tuned up. We cannot go ahead and function on less than all 12 cylinders. Okay, we're talking about the ideal state. Needless to say, the car is not so tuned up it can also run, but surely it's not running as efficiently as it should be. Now, is it a very big jump for you to see what Rav Kook, where he is leading?
Yeah.
when, where, how, under what circumstances is the Jew fully tuned up? No?
What's the next separation?
When it is a, when it has its total entity, plugged into its generator of Kedusha, all right? Which is where?
The land of Israel.
It's the only place. Because in Eretz Yisrael is where it can reach its mark of uniqueness, nowhere else. And it is Ein Zekim Beis Elokim B'Zeh Shara Shamayim. It is closest to what? To the porthole, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to heaven. That's where the ladder is. And that's the Malachim Olim B'Yordim Bo. That's where you got to start climbing. I mean, it's obvious that this is it.
Why wouldn't it be more obvious to be among the Goyim? How are they going to see us if we're congregated together in our own little ladder?
Because light that is diffused never can be a lighthouse.
Unless you're
light
right
that
to
is
it.
Concentrated and beamed can always stand to clear the darkness. And you know, that statement, you're obviously parroting the most incredible distortion that we have had in Jewish history. And that is the reform formulation of this Or HaGoyim. That the only way we can bring light is to go into every single house in Berlin, as they did 85-90% of Berlin 200 years ago, and marry into Goyisha families, and we will be the light in every Goyisha family. So what you have done, instead of having a laser beam that is clearly identifiable at all times, a fluorescent luminescence that is unmistakable, you have here a little match, and there a little match, and there a little match. No, you strike a match in 80% of the Berlin houses that had intermarriages 200 years ago, 175 years ago. Okay? How long does it take for the match to go out? You know how long? In one generation, finished. And that's it. And Mendelssohn's Oleg Gesundenstaltzheim, the Rav of Dessau, the Tzaddik, whom the Vilna Gaon gave an approbation, gave a haskoma to his work, the Vilna Gaon held for Mendelssohn. And out of his six children, five went to the baptismal font and finished. One, the Shlemiel of the family, Abraham, remained a Jew. Why? Because this insane distortion of the Or HaGoyim was simply taking the book of matches, and instead of keeping it together as a strong beam, fully tuned up, fully working at its highest voltage, at its maximum and also its optimal voltage, went ahead and you took a book of match here and here and here and here. How long can those matches last as light?
How many of Abraham's children converted and didn't remain
Jewish? Just a minute. Excuse me.
One child?
Yeah, one child. Yeah. One child that created one child.
One child. So
and Yitzchak, that's, and Yitzchak created one child, Yaakov. And that's why we don't speak of Emes until who? Titin Emes Yaakov. What was the Emes given to Yaakov? That he had 12 tzaddikim.
To come over and say that I love the Jews is a necessary prerequisite for everything.
No.
But to say that I only love the Jews and I don't love all of God's
he
creation.
He didn't say that.
No, he didn't say that, but he implies that his
no.
love for the Jews
wrong.
Is...
Wrong. Wrong. Everything that is created, surely according to Rav Kook, but it's not original to him, everything that is created is a Tzelem Elokim in a sense, has a spark of Kedusha in it. There is nothing that is dispensable. Elama, that the Jew is the highest concentration of that Tzelem Elokim. The highest concentration of the Ritzon Hashem.
One more question.
Go.
What if, we all know what the political situation is in Israel today between the different groups, religious and not religious, and even within the religious. So what if when we all get to Eretz Yisrael, we find that it's not much different than from being in Passaic in terms of machlokus and controversy? Well, what if that's the case? Because it is sort of like that now. Now, that's an empirical thing, and you're talking about an ideal.
Listen to me. Here is the answer. Rav Kook, oh, no. Let me try to bridge it. If I'm wrong about Rav, you'll quickly slap me down and show me that I'm wrong. Every form of machlokas in the thinking of Kabbalah, which Rav Kook internalized, is a form of perut halavavos, is a form of degeneration of function. Okay? That degeneration of function, or let's call irritation, the interface of two human beings creating an irritation and friction, that degeneration is as a result, is symptomatic of a misreading or a misunderstanding of what our te'udah as a Jew is. If your te'udah, if your testimony were truly functioning fully, mishuchlal, okay? Mm-hmm. There's no room for machlokes.
So you're saying what he's going to describe would rule out what we in fact encounter by living among ourselves.
Let's see. Now, if the tune-up of the spirituality of Bnei Yisrael is going to occur where? Best, the function, the mechanism is going to function in Eretz Yisrael. Obviously he has to address himself, to his Ruach HaTchiyah, his spirit of revival, this nationalism. So take a look at line 91. V'hinei, atah, now in this present, at this present moment, after having developed this, acharei shebanu midah zu, where we have reached this point of saying that the Jew must function at the highest level, and the highest level is Eretz Yisrael. Ein anachnu rasha'im, we have no right whatsoever, lehani et leil achenu elu harachokim, to Lahani means actually to shake. It's the same root as lahania. Mm-hmm. To distract the heart of our brethren.